I should probably start inviting more people. I send like a personal text message to people and like verbally invite it, folks. As you do when you invite someone to a party and you want them to actually show. So now I'm going to go ahead and do like a Facebook event thing. Dude, I've been out in the backyard picking freaking weed.
It's like to the point where like my fucking vagina.
Well, that's
my pelvic floor hurts. Like it's so stupid. Like why does my freaking hoo-ha hurt?
It's the curse.
And my fucking like my butthole hurts. My, my colon. Like seriously, it's like it just aches. Headache, sleep. I have like issues, man.
I got it.
I think I'm dying. What is all this powder stuff here?
It's probably brown rice flour.
It just hangs out on your tab. On your
this
table.
Is where I process my biscuits.
Biscuit processing. You need a factory.
I need a factory. I need an office.
I was at that women's, at that minority expo, you really should have gone. It was really, really informational.
Here's the thing. It was the last day of the month.
I get it, but I'm just saying.
I know. I do want to go to one, and I mean, don't get me wrong. Don't think that I'm just like, I don't want to go to this. I have obligations at work, unfortunately.
No, I understand, but it was really informative. Like, they were talking about things like business insurance. Like, they were just talking about like the legal aspect of business, like what, you know, what your business structure is and what is the best business structure for your company. Cause you know, that'll change as you grow. Like okay. If you take on, you know, employees or get investors or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And, as your business grows, it could change. And then the type of business that you have, you could they help you assess your. Actually, this place it's free. I'll give you the information. They do counseling.
This bitch is back here eating her food.
they do not counseling, but like they'll meet with you to discuss your business, like what if you should have, you know, like what type, like if an LLC versus a sole proprietorship, like. Mm-hmm. People do LLCs to take the risk off of themselves because, you know, their business has the potential to get them sued. Yep. Or, you know, like if you're a t-shirt manufacturer just like shipping t-shirts, you obviously have a less likelihood of being sued than if you're like a masseuse.
Right. Yeah.
And stuff like that.
I thought like I got jacked up by a masseuse one time. I was like not right. Remember, I was not right for like 2 months after I got a massage.
What?
Me and Jamal got couples massages last year for our anniversary.
Where?
She
at
worked.
The day spa.
The day spa? She did something like in my muscle in my shoulder.
Did she try to give you a deep tissue when you wanted Swedish or what?
Yeah, like I just like it really, I mean, I like it really gentle. You don't need to deep tissue me.
You don't need to deep tissue me.
Please don't. Like, if there's like, you know, a little bit of tension, ask me if I want you to work it out. Like, just don't go, you know, ham hog in
there.
They
didn't ask you before. Like, usually
no,
they ask
just,
you beforehand.
I am very, like, sensitive to that kind of stuff. Like, I love a massage. Don't get me wrong. I love to be rubbed on. But sometimes you get a little too eager and you're not asking me how I feel and what. And then I'll go like this. I'll go, ow. And they're just like, oh, okay. And I was like, okay, now stop. But anyway, I was not right for like 2 months. And I wanted to go back. I'm like, hey, you guys jacked me up. But then.
It's already been a year.
Yeah.
And like, how do you prove that now?
Right, exactly.
But yeah.
I could have slept wrong. I don't know. But I know now that Brinley's out of our bed.
You sleep better?
I sleep way better.
Yeah. And that's another thing. Gracie keeps getting in our bed. I'm like, I'm trying to get her her new bed, so she could sleep in it.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm, like, going to make her bedroom as, like, luxurious as possible so she'll want to be there.
Are you letting her pick the stuff? Like, are you saying, what about this? Like, giving her options. Though you know what you want. I don't know if you're involving her in on this selection, but it makes it more their own when they have involvement.
Well, first, I need to get her the mattress. because she.
Did you want a twin
or a full? A full. She's in, you know, she's still in a toddler bed, and she's four, and I mean, she's still small, but she, you know,
she needs a big bed.
She likes this girl turns sideways in the bed. Like, every freaking morning, I wake up and her head is either in my side or her feet are on my face.
That's how it is with the baby. That's
she's not a baby! She's four!
I know, but that's why mom's like, I can't be sleeping with y'all. You know, I don't sleep with kids. Kendall kick you in the neck, like, just all up in your guts as Brinley. This one, and oh my god, she's sick. Oh my god.
Did she throw up on you?
Oh gosh. So
she threw up on you?
I got up at 7 o'clock this morning. I go to the bathroom. I'm in the bathroom, farting around, and then I hear Jamal. And then I hear and freaking Brinley's throwing up.
Where?
In our bed.
In the bed.
In the bed. Vomit everywhere. Yeah. She looks throwing up everything, right? I'm like, gross. We strip the bed. I shake out the chunks outside, get it in the wash.
That's deep, and I hate that. Like,
it's gross.
Giovanni, even
no, like, no. It's not over. So then, 20 minutes later, she's so okay. I get her cleaned up. I put some clothes on her. I put her in her bed because Kendall slept in her room because the beds are in Bren's room. So I put her in their bed. They're watching TV. I guess she was throwing up again because I was outside gardening. I was pulling up weeds and stuff. And so she's throwing up again. So then the bed in Brinley's room, sheets, blankets off. And so I think she threw up one more. Yeah, she threw up one more time. I came up and then she's just throwing up. And I like I had all the sheets and stuff on the floor that I need to be washed. So she just threw up in that.
She threw up in a pile of sheets?
Yeah, on the floor.
Okay. When she has the urge to throw up, does she, like, run anywhere? Or she just sits there and just...
She's just...
Just sits and, like, yeah, lets it just, yeah, like, overcome her.
Not even two, you know? She doesn't know. This has never happened before. This is new territory. So then we're fine. She has a little bit of eggs, water, that's it. And she takes a nap. She wakes up from her nap. She's smiling. She's happy. She's throwing up. And I was just like, please make it stop. And now we've got the shits. So I don't know what's going on. I just don't know. It's a virus. Yeah.
Where was she yesterday?
Here. She didn't go anywhere yesterday. That's why I was like, I need to clean this house. We played outside. But you know what? They were over there playing in that nasty, like, there's, like, a drainage or something over there, and I think it comes from their, like, swamp, something. I've never seen liquid in there before or even paid attention to it until the kids were over there playing with it. So I think she was over there by, like, I think it's, like, sewage waste or something. I don't know what that is over there. I don't know.
But on the gutter, like,
mm-hmm. It's, like, it's on the sidewalk, and it's, like a plastic-like one. Over there, it's like white. I don't know. You'll see it. But Jamal was like, "Don't let them play in that." And I was like, "What?" And he was like, "Blah blah blah."
What were they playing in that?
Because it was full of water, and they had sticks, and they were just whirling it around because they're kids. Anyway, but she hasn't been anywhere. She didn't go anywhere yesterday.
That sucks.
Yeah, it does. Anyway, so I'm dealing with a sick child right now, so you might be hearing a lot of her. Hopefully not. But whatever.
I remember the first time Gracie got sick. Like, I think we all got the stomach flu that time, and she was in her crib,
and she was like one, maybe 18. No, maybe she was two. It was before we moved. It was when we were still in the apartment, but
it was way before we moved. We moved when she was two, so she was probably like 18 months or something. Mm-hmm. Whatever, and she was like. She said, my stomach, you know, I don't feel good. Mm-hmm. And Norman picked her up. And she just threw up. And, like, it was like a trail because he was carrying her.
Oh, God.
And she goes, I puked. I was just like, yeah.
It's the worst. Nasty. It's the worst. And I'm, like, washing my hands, wiping doorknobs, counters.
Where's the bleach?
Yeah, I'm spraying this the vinegar solution I made. I also have some thieves that I have from Young Living.
Thieves.
It's called Thieves.
It steals stuff?
Yes. What is it? It's the mixture of...
steals cooties
it's
away
It's the
from?
Mixture of essential oils. It's called Thieves. It's pretty good. It smells delicious. Hang on a second. Let me get my laptop.
Okay.
All right, Brandy. I think that covers our
week. Did you
say lap dip? I said laptop, and then I was like, I don't have a laptop.
Lap dip.
Liar. Liar!
I was like, it's over there.
I don't have one. Oh, yeah, there is a laptop over there. Maybe that's why I thought that.
Okay, so,
I think that kind of covers our week.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay, so, I am Brandy Fleeks.
Oh, and I am Sunny Hepburn.
and this is Book of Lies,
the podcast. Anyway, so who are we covering today, Brandy?
Today we are discussing Count Victor Lustig. Victor Lustig, a.k.a. Robert V. Miller. Robert V. Miller. That is apparently the birth name that he was born under. A.K.A. the man who sold the Eiffel Tower twice. So, this guy, Victor Lustig. So, a lot of this information comes from, of course, Wikipedia. And then there's... Yeah, because... And I'll tell you why. Because all of these articles, none of them all have all of the information.
Okay.
So, it's Wiki... And then there's the Smithsonian Magazine online. And then there's Biography.
That's where I'm at right now, biography.com.
So, yeah, there's so much. This guy is, like, incredible. Like, he's not the Catch Me If You Can guy, but he's very
That's what I thought. That's what I thought he was.
No, that guy's name starts with a, his last name starts with an A. I forgot what it is. Assange. Not Assange. Here we go with the Assange again. But no.
Okay.
This guy was born in January of... 1890, January 4th, 1890, in a city called Hostine, in what was formerly Austria-Hungary, and it's now the Czech Republic.
Oh, I show Bohemia, Czech Republic.
Yeah, it's like Bohemia. The area was Bohemia, is what was like the term Bohemian comes from that area.
Oh, okay.
Born in Austria-Hungary, this was before World War I, obvi. So,
obvi. Unless, honestly, I'm not saying I'm a dummy, but if you were like, when did World War I start? Is that what it's called? World War
I? Yeah. Not a dummy.
I wouldn't know what year. I wouldn't like, oh, it started in, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Well, we'll get to the World War I part.
Okay.
But.
Oh, okay.
So, basically, his life, he died in 1947. So his 57 years on this earth was spent scamming people, conning people, you know, doing all kinds of stuff. The thing is that, okay, he was really smart, like very intelligent. As a kid, he was very smart. He learned 5 languages as a kid.
Okay, but like if you deliver these languages to them, it's not very, not deliver, but if you're like using the different languages around your home, it's not that difficult to teach your children
languages. No. He wasn't speaking 5 languages at home.
Oh.
This kid learned 5 languages.
Okay,
like,
excuse me.
He was a smart dude.
Okay.
He was also a troublemaker.
Okay.
So, he, went through elementary school, high school. However, if you do a search on his history, there's no history of him ever attending any schools.
So he's full of shit.
So, well... There's no history of his birth. I was going to get to that at the end, but there's no history of him ever being born.
Oh, I saw that online.
I told you.
Didn't I see that online?
I saw that somewhere.
No, bitch, I told you.
Yeah, at 19, he was in Paris, right? And he was, you know, on a break, like spring break or whatever, taking a break from studying. Mm-hmm. And he started gambling, and basically he... got involved with some girl, and her boyfriend basically kicked his ass.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had a scar on his face. So I think somewhere in there it says that he developed the nickname as The Scar.
Okay.
Because of this scar that he had on his left left side of his face.
So they called you the Scar.
They called him the Scar. The authorities called him this when they started looking for him, trying to catch him.
Okay.
He was known as the Scar.
The Scar.
So, okay. First, he got into, you know, starting his cons after he left school. He, because he knew like five languages, he started speaking to people, you know, in five languages. He would meet people on
fluently, five languages.
He would meet people, like he would start going back and forth from Paris to New York, and he would meet people on ships. And so he would con people on ships.
Okay, what's the con?
Basically, yeah, most of his initial cons were committed on ocean liners sailing between the Atlantic ports of France and New York. And among the schemes that he pulled on rich travelers included one where he posed as a producer, a musical producer, who was looking for investments into his...
In the 1900s, like the 1920s?
Yeah, like early 1900s.
Okay.
On a Broadway play that he didn't have. So basically he was like, you know, I'm looking for funding. I have this play that I'm putting on Broadway, this production.
Wow.
And I'm looking for investors. And of course, there was no
You
production.
Don't say.
Yeah.
We love the movies, right, Jan? Yeah.
Right. So that's when he started going from the name Robert V. Miller. Changed his name from Robert Miller to Count Victor Lustig.
Count Victor Lustig.
Victor Lustig. I don't know.
I like the way that sounds. I like Victor Lustig.
Yeah. That was one of his favorites. This guy had 27 different identities. He carried multiple passports. So he was like ready. He was always ready to go.
And I think back then it was super easy. You're just like, this is my name. Shh.
Yeah, there was no tech.
Why would I want to be someone else?
There was no systems. All you needed was a picture and a name, and that was it.
That's
me. And
you
could go somewhere. And money.
Of course, you need money.
And you didn't even really need a lot of money. A lot of people stowed away on, like, boats and stuff. So.
That's when that shit was going down. You're like, oh, man, how'd you get here? I don't know. I just...
Yeah. So, he basically, you know, he started doing that con, like, oh, you know, I need funding for my Broadway play. When World War I started, he decided to make his place in the United States. So he came over here and stayed.
Okay.
So, during this time...
And now, when did World War I start?
World War I began in 1914.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
I honestly, I'm learning so much today.
Yeah, 1914, So, yeah, the early 1900s. By this time, after, you know, he decided to basically, he landed in Missouri. Mm-hmm. Landed in Missouri, and he married some chick. I'm not going to say some chick.
That's the show me state.
He got married, yeah. Well, he married a...
Can I interject?
A Kansas girl. Girl from Kansas. What?
Anytime I ask anybody from Missouri, why is it called the show me state?
Oh, God.
I get a different answer.
Of course, because they don't know. They don't know the origin of the reason. They're
I get like a similar answer, but it's like, you know, it's like, show me, like, put your money where your mouth is, like, prove it to me. Like, they want to see it before they'll believe it. So they're like, I guess that's why, but it's not a consistent answer.
Show me. So what is it?
It's called the show me state.
No, I get that, but why? What
people are like, they're like, just, you know, don't talk it, walk it. Like, put your money where your mouth is.
Uh huh.
Let me see you do it first. You know, different, like, euphemisms for, you know, talk it like I walk it. I don't know. I don't understand. It's confusing to me. Are you confused by my answer?
I get, like, talk the... Basically...
Those are the different answers I've gotten. I have not
gotten... It's walk the talk.
Yeah, basically. I haven't gotten a consistent answer, like, this is it. I'm like, I don't care.
Who said show me first? Okay. So, anyway... I'm just saying, you know, like,
yeah.
Who was this? Who said it?
Who did it?
Okay. So, yeah, he married a girl from Kansas, okay. And he somehow, you know, managed to... They said here, like, he was like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde,
ooh.
But he always treated women with respect. So he wasn't like a an asshole, even though he did have mistresses. He had two mistresses. One was like a brothel, one a Billy May something. We'll get to her. But she ran a brothel. She was like a millionaire. A woman, like a self-made millionaire who ran a brothel.
Yeah, honey.
And then he also had another mistress who was some girl. Okay, so he married a girl from Kansas. And he began, you know, basically making a name for himself as a con man, like as a professional con man. Of course, he wasn't calling himself that, but by 1922, he had made his way over to Missouri. And he conned a bank, more than one bank, actually. He was going under the name Robert Duvall. And
Robert Duvall?
Yeah, Robert Duvall.
Shut the fuck up.
And he was going under the name Robert Duvall.
Okay.
This was before Robert Duvall, obviously, but...
Oh, my yeah, gosh. He, all right.
He put that name. And he basically...
Here comes Kendall. Hmm?
Hey, Kendall.
You want to say hi to the podcast?
Hi, podcast.
Hi, podcast. Okay, so Lustig, posing as Robert Duvall, found out about a repossessed ranch, right? So he goes to American Savings Bank. Anyway, so he goes to American Savings Bank, right, with basically $22,000 in Liberty Bonds, which okay. are, you know, bonds that they had back then or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he convinces them to exchange the additional $10,000 of bonds for cash. And so he would have the extra money to run the ranch. Mm-hmm. Somehow they're like, okay, yeah, we'll do that. So he puts the $22,000 of bonds down in an envelope. Then the $10,000 goes in another envelope mm-hmm. and puts that down too. Somehow this guy manages to basically escape with a sleight of a hand, mm-hmm. takes both of them and bounces. And so, yeah, he basically gets away with $32,000 in bonds and cash from a bank.
Wow.
Right? So, they found him. They tracked him to Kansas City, and he was arrested. But he talked his way out of an indictment, dude, and walked free. Like, this guy was, like, a smooth talker. He could talk his way out of a fucking paper bag.
Man.
So.
I love you. You're like, dude.
I'm like, how do you talked your way out of an indictment for freaking $32,000 mm-hmm, mm-hmm, from a mm-hmm, bank? Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen.
Yeah, out of indictment?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you're not going to prison. You're not getting a freaking, he didn't even get a slap on the wrist. They're like, okay, yeah, we'll let you go. Sure. Fine. Why not? Right? So, he had 47 aliases, right? And a dozen fake passports. So he was like ready to go. This is my favorite thing right here. Okay. In 1925 was when he pulled this crazy con with the Eiffel Tower. So in May of 1925, he managed to get together a bunch of shot callers in a room at a hotel. He tells them, because of, okay, in France, that like, even the freaking French government, right, he pretended to be a government official from France, and he wrote to, like, all these business owners, and they go to this hotel, and he tells them, because of engineering faults, cost of repairs, and political problems that I cannot discuss, the tearing down of the Eiffel Tower has become mandatory, right? Mm-hmm. So, he's like, okay, the tower will be sold to the highest bidder. And people were like, oh, really? Like, oh, we're going to buy this Eiffel Tower. First of all, people, when the Eiffel Tower was erected in Paris, people hated it. The people in Paris hated the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah.
So I'm like, why would they want to buy this freaking thing? Maybe to tear it down. But he's like, we're going to tear it down, so who wants to buy it? Whatever.
Whatever.
It's weird. I'm like, okay. So, yeah, they're like, yeah, we want to buy it. So people just start bidding on the damn Eiffel Tower. He pulled this off. He managed to sell the Eiffel Tower. Twice! He did this twice. And people...
So he sold it to two different people?
He did this same scam twice. Okay. Like, he got a bunch of people in a freaking room to start bidding on the Eiffel Tower at two different times. So the first time he did it, successful, and somehow that nobody spoke to each other back then, so he managed to do it again.
Ah! That was the problem. Communication. That was the thing. Communication was slow. Information was slow. So people were getting away with all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. Like, back in the day, you could do that. So...
But twice, like, seriously, like, as a business owner... Okay, if I'm a business owner and he lures me to a hotel to buy the Eiffel Tower, right? I'm going to say, hey, beware of this person. I'm going to write to my friends, my other business owner friends, because obviously, as a business owner, I know other business owners.
Yeah.
I have friends in high places.
Obviously.
I'm going to say, beware of this motherfucker. He will try to scam you into buying a fucking structure. Eiffel Tower,
mm-hmm.
that he has no business, he doesn't own it, a government official.
Bullshit.
These people are like, yeah, they throw money at him to buy the Eiffel Tower.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do, that's like buying the freaking Empire State Building.
Come on.
No. No. I'm gonna sell you City Hall right now.
People weren't very smart a long time ago, obviously. I'm just saying.
They weren't very smart.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, there was, I mean, as today, too, there's a lot of dummies out there.
Oh, my God.
There's a lot of dumb people. There's a lot of people that are easily influenced. There's a lot of people that people get over on. That's why they still have those freaking fuckers calling for, your Social Security card, like, right around this time of year.
Yeah.
They called me. They called Jamal.
They called me. Well, actually... I got the call from, like, a number that leaves a message telling you, this message is about your...
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're going to go to the police. Number. Like, there's the bullshit.
This one's like, you must call this number or all of your accounts will be seized.
Okay, good luck with that.
Like, you're not even mentioning anything specific to me, so whatever.
Exactly.
Like, really? Okay. What accounts?
Vague much?
Which accounts? Please.
But there's a lot of dummies out there. That's what I'm just trying to get at. There's a lot of people that are easily swayed. Like, you're a very intelligent person. You've graduated from high school. You have a degree. You've pursued, like, upper-level education. Everybody doesn't do that. And it doesn't... I don't say that you doing that makes you smart, because there's a lot of idiots that are doctors and lawyers and have degrees. They're a bunch of fucking dummies.
Yeah.
But their intelligence...
There's street smarts, there's intelligence, and then there's just, those who... People who decide to remain ignorant, and that's willful ignorance. I don't have any time for those people.
And then there's people that prey on the weak, and there we go.
Yeah. Okay, so he did this twice, right? And so the guy that he originally sold the damn Eiffel Tower to, quote, I'm doing air quotes because air
Eiffel
quotes,
look at,
sold the Eiffel Tower
to. I'm going to sound like Dr. Evil. Sold the Eiffel Tower.
Okay, yeah, he bought it, whatever.
Laser.
So, the guy realized that he was fucking conned, right? Yeah. So, and he was embarrassed, so he didn't go to the police.
And that's what shame. That keeps him from telling other people, too.
And, oh my God. Okay, so anyway. He did it again in a month. he sold the fucking,
last month was a good month. I think I'm going to go ahead and try this one again.
The second time, though, he did get away with it, but he was, like, they were coming after him for it.
Okay.
So he left. He left back to, because he was in France. He came back.
Mm-hmm.
To the U.S. But his thing was, like, he wouldn't shut up about what he was doing. So he was bragging.
Yeah.
And, like, I've done this, I've done this, blah, blah, blah,
blah,
blah.
Blabbermouth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he came up with his Ten Commandments of a con, basically. Mm-hmm. It's the Ten Commandments for con men, right? So they are, be a patient listener.
Ooh.
And in parentheses, it says, it is this, not fast talking, that gets a con man his coup. So that's number one. Number two, never look bored. Number three, wait for the other person to reveal any political opinions, then agree with them. Four, let the other person reveal religious views, then have the same ones. Five, hint at sex talk, but don't follow it up unless the other person shows strong interest.
Ah!
Four, never discuss illness unless some special concern is shown. Five. How did I get from freaking six to five?
Dude.
Seven.
It's my wine.
Never pry into a person's personal circumstances. They'll tell you eventually. 8, never boast. Just let your importance be quietly obvious. So, and he did. He carried himself like an important person. So that, never be untidy, number 9. And number 10, never get drunk.
Yeah, you need to be composed.
You need to be have your wits about you. Yes. And you need to look the part.
Exactly.
Look important. Look like you have money. Look like you can do stuff for people. Because people always want you to do shit for them.
Yeah, they do.
So.
That's when people need you.
What can you do for me? Let's see. Let me get to know this gentleman over
here. Hey, guys. Uh-huh. Those pockets look awfully fat. Let's talk.
Okay. So. Oh my gosh. Okay. So. He had this thing. It was called the Romanian box, right? So in 1926, this was like, they call it his most successful scam, which was the Romanian box. He claimed that this box could print $100 bills. Right. It's that box.
I'm so excited for this story right now. Okay, oh, gosh. So, okay.
He basically would sell people, unsuspecting marks, he would sell them a box that he claimed was a machine that could duplicate any currency and bills that were inserted to it. But he was demonstrating it with $100 bills, basically. Like, and at that time, and still now, $100 bills are the most scrutinized bills by bankers, by, you know, people who know what a $100 bill is supposed to look like.
Right.
What the marks are, what it should say,
right,
what numbers are supposed to be on it.
Right.
So, he would basically put this, you know, blank paper sheets in this machine.
Mm-hmm.
But he would put 2 bills in it. So,
$200 bills.
2 $100 bills.
So he would put like blank bills.
He would put blank paper
that looked like the same shape and size of dollar bills.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then where it was supposed to dispense, there would be 2 $100 bills. He claimed that this machine, referred to as the money box or the Romanian box, he claimed that it could spit out, you know, $100 bills. So in order to convince the mark it truly worked, he would ask them to give him a specific denomination of a bill. So of course they would say have a $100 bill.
He's like banking on them saying a $100 bill.
Right. So okay. He would put a $100 bill in the device and then he would put the paper in.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would wait with them until the duplicate was made.
And the quote unquote the duplicate.
Right. Later. He would take him, that person, with him to a bank to authenticate the note, which was real. And in reality, the mark would be unaware of the fact that Lustig had concealed a genuine note within the device.
He put real money in the machine.
He put real
money
in there.
He knows how to verify a test.
Mm-hmm. And basically, like, you could put any dollar, any bill of any amount in this machine and
it's
going to
spit out money. How much is he selling it for?
It doesn't actually say how much. But once they were convinced, he would refuse to sell them the box until they offered him a high price for
okay,
it.
Okay, so he's betting up.
Yeah,
okay.
Basically, like, you tell me how much you think this box is worth.
Okay, so he's haggling. Okay.
Uh-huh.
He's like, I'm selling you a machine. This machine makes $100 bills. Do you see how many bills you can fit in there?
Mm-hmm.
And then how many bills can I make in a day?
So before he sold it, he would put additional money in there. Just,
right.
You know, to be able to buy him the time to make a clean escape. So he would put like 2 $100 bills in there.
Uh-huh.
And he said that it could only spit out a bill every 6 hours.
Every 6 hours.
Every 6 hours.
Dude.
So.
If you had a printer and it took 6 hours to spit out one
this
fucking
was
1926.
Page. It's 1926. Like,
yeah, I'm just saying. Nice call. So 6 hours. Every 6 hours,
uh-huh,
you get a bill.
Yeah.
Okay.
So by the time they figured out this machine doesn't do shit, you know, it's fake, he was long gone.
Bye-bye.
And so he did this multiple times.
Damn.
He sold this box to I don't even know how many people. And he also managed to con Al Capone.
Oh.
Yeah.
Al Capone wasn't very smart, though. He was a big dummy, wasn't he?
Al Capone had syphilis. So
he was a big dummy, though, right?
He was crazy.
From the syphilis.
I don't think he was a dummy, but yeah.
He was the one that didn't get caught into, like, tax evasion or something,
he
right?
He was, yeah, he basically got caught because of tax evasion, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry. I'm itching. I didn't put lotion on shower.
You ashy.
I am. I'm so my skin is dry. I'm like,
do you guys know what ashy is?
Yeah, ashy is the black people term for dry skin.
Okay. Ashy.
Ashy. Okay.
No, you're not ashy. Yeah, I am.
Yeah, like, yeah, there's some ash. There's definitely
like an ash tree.
Ash tree?
Like, it looks like, you know, it has like a dust on it, you know?
Does it?
Well, pumpkins actually do that. Like, there's a certain type of pumpkin. When you harvest it, like when it's growing, it's like green, and then it'll turn color. And then when it's ripe, it grows like an ash. Like, you can like wipe it, and that's how you know it's ripe.
What?
It's crazy, right?
No, I didn't know that. Okay, so the Great Depression after World War II, I'm sorry, after World War I, mm-hmm. was the Great Depression. So when the Great Depression came on, he concocted a scam that basically directed it at Al Capone.
Okay.
So he knew that it was dangerous to do this, and if he got found out, he would basically get killed.
Yeah.
So what he did, it wasn't a direct like con, like he wasn't trying to con him, but it was like basically like a mind game. He was gonna like, you know, get cozy with him and then basically get some money from him.
Okay.
So it said it involved asking Al Capone to let him invest $50,000 towards a crooked scam.
$50,000.
50 grand.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's
so
bold.
Basically, I'm like, hey, Al, can I slide you $50,000 to put into, you know, whatever your bookmaking or whatever this scam is?
Yeah.
Okay.
You drink all the wine.
No, there wasn't a lot of, this is not a lot of wine.
I think it's a pint.
This, my friend, is a pint. self-sealing mason jar. Okay. So basically, okay, it involved asking Al Capone to let him invest 50 grand toward mm-hmm. a crooked scam, and he would keep the money and put it in a safe deposit box
mm-hmm.
for 2 months, and then it would give the money back, right? So when he did, he claimed that the deal had fallen through, but that he intended to return the money. Al Capone was like, oh, okay, yeah, this guy seems to be kind of honest, you know? Mm-hmm. So he... It says, at this point, Lustig stung him with the claim that the failure of the deal meant he had no money himself to support him. So, basically, he was like, okay, because this deal fell through, mm-hmm. so now I don't have any money. Like, I'm giving you your money back.
Right.
But I don't have any. So, can I have 5 grand so, you know, I can survive?
Right.
And Al Capone was like, yeah, sure. Yeah, here's 5 grand. Here you go. Like, dude, he actually conned fucking Al Capone. There was no, like, money, you know?
Uh-huh.
But he managed to do it. Con this guy. And it's not, there's no checks and balances back then. You can't look into fucking...
Yeah.
I mean, you could, but it took a lot of work.
Yeah, to do legwork. So, this guy's intelligent enough to know the operations. Like, okay, we know if I say this, it takes this long. There's no way to verify this. You're just going to take this long. So mm-hmm. he just understands... the operation,
right,
and how to freaking finagle it.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck face.
So in 1930 he went into a partnership with two dudes from Nebraska, a pharmacist and a chemist, William Watts and Tom Shaw, okay. to conduct a large-scale counterfeiting operation, right? So Watts and Shaw engraved plates that would be used to manufacture fake dollar bills, and Lustig organized a ring of couriers to distribute the money. And to make sure that they got, you know, they were kept in the dark regarding the production of the counterfeits, blah, blah, blah. In short, like, basically, like, I'm going to use some couriers so you guys don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
Right.
In short, it says, the operation managed to circulate thousands of dollars of counterfeit money for the next 5 years, and it was called Lustig Money.
Really?
The next 5 years. The government was like, we need to stop this guy. Because he is basically devaluing the fucking dollar.
He's killing us.
He's going to fuck up our economy with this fake money.
Fucking up my economy, Lustig!
They were like, we need to get this dude now.
Lustig money!
Right? So.
Lustig money!
So, he, this guy, there was this agent, this man who was like, well, I'm going to stop this guy. Right.
I'm gonna stop this guy.
This Secret Service agent named Peter Rubano.
Mm-hmm.
This guy was an Italian American. He was kind of a big dude, right? But he was like, "I'm gonna catch this Like, this dude is going down." So he was born and raised in the Bronx,
mm-hmm.
and he made his name by trapping a gangster, Ignacio the Wolf Lupo. And he liked to see his name's papers, so he was kind of a glory hog, you know, mm-hmm. like, "I caught this guy. My name is in this newspaper." So he basically got a hard on for Peter for Lustig, for Victor Lustig, and was like,
my dick is so hard.
I'm gonna get this fucker.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Because he's just like, yeah, he's just like, I can't.
And when he started doing the counterfeit money, it was like, okay, this obviously this is a Secret Service issue now.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is fucking with the economy. He's fucking with the what do they call it? The confidence in the dollar.
Okay. Okay. The confidence in the dollar.
Yeah. Because on the international market, you know, the dollar was like the strongest at the time, and so once you know. I don't know if I'm going to get fake bills or real bills. I don't have much confidence in the American dollar.
Yeah,
anymore,
yeah, I'm
you know?
Questioning that. Don't give me that 100. I'll take 250s. Thank you.
Right. So, basically, and it said it was feared that a run of fake bills this large could wobble international confidence in the dollar.
Yeah.
So there it is right there. So, yeah, Rubano and the Secret Service were, like, trying to catch him for a long time. And Lustig was going. He was traveling internationally. So mm-hmm. it was like, once he left the country, they really didn't,
bye-bye.
They didn't do anything. Yeah. So he traveled with a trunk of disguises, right? So he could transform easily into a rabbi.
Transformers.
A priest, a bellhop, a porter. And he would do this, like, at hotels. So people would be like, bellboy, bellboy.
There it is. You got it?
Caught man in disguise.
Look at Transformers. Con man in disguise.
There you go.
Damn, he's just like ready to be a rabbi.
He basically, yeah. So like, he would like you know be at a hotel.
He's ready.
Have his trunk full of disguises. Put his bellboy costume on. People would be like, "Oh, bellboy, take my." And he could like get some bags and just bounce.
Yes.
And yeah, so that's what he did.
So like, okay, here's the thing. So this guy, like, I usually hate con artists, and I'm just like, you guys are fucking assholes.
You guys are, this guy, okay, here's the thing. He, like, he didn't carry weapons.
Right.
And I love how they're like, he was the most dangerous con man of the time. He wasn't a violent man. He just was very smart. And he knew how to fucking talk his way out of shit.
Yeah.
He could use sleight of hand. They said he could make a deck of cards do everything but talk.
Shit.
That's how, like, you know, how good he was.
Okay. Make it. Okay.
So, yeah, he was good at what he was doing, and they were like, we need to stop this fucker.
Yeah.
We need to catch this fucker.
We need to get this motherfucker. He's fucking up our dollar.
He's fucking up the dollar. He's fucking up everything. Like, he's making our job hard. So, he got involved with that woman, the Billy May. What the hell's her last name? Billy May. Billy May found out that he was... Having an affair with that Shaw guy, the one, the other guy that was involved in the counterfeiting scheme. Mm-hmm. He was involved with her, with his mistress, that Shaw guy's mistress. He got involved with her too. And so she was like, okay, you're going to fuck me over. Yeah, you're fucking over your wife, and now you're going to fuck me over too?
Okay,
so,
fuck this. Fuck this.
She decided that she was going to get revenge, and she called the freaking feds.
Oh, yeah, she's pissed.
So on May 10th, 1935, he got arrested in New York, and he was charged with counterfeiting. And he admitted that he was involved, you know, he was like, yeah, I did, and blah, 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 but he was like, he admitted it to his partners, but to the authorities, he was like, I don't know what you're talking about. So
sorry, I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about. Nah. But he was in possession with the money, so he was later found to open a locker in the New York Times Square subway station that contained $51,000.
Shit.
$51,000 in counterfeit money.
That's and, 51 grand though, right?
And the plates. And that at that time.
Oh, and the plates.
In 1935, $51,000.
That's $1 billion right now. In today's money, it's $1 billion.
Basically, yeah, that was during the Depression.
Shit, a house is like $50 a month. You know what I'm saying? You rolling.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
So, yeah, they found him with the money and the plates, so he was arrested. And before his trial, he managed to escape. This freaking place was called the, what was it called? The Unescapable or Impenetrable, what was it called? From the Inescapable Federal Detention Center in Manhattan.
So what happened from there?
He escaped.
Oh.
He was there. In a federal detention center, a prison, mm-hmm. federal prison, He escaped. Basically made a rope of bed sheets, cut through his bars, and swung from a fucking window in Manhattan.
I'm out!
Went in Manhattan. People saw him.
I'm out!
It says, when a group of onlookers stopped and pointed, he fucking basically took a rag from his pocket and pretended to be a window cleaner.
He's quick, too. Like, he's just like, oh, shit, yeah. I gotta do this. He's
quick on his feet.
Savage.
He jumped, landed on his feet, bowed, and bounced.
Damn.
Sprinted away like a deer. Okay. So the police, they were like, they went to his cell. They found out he wasn't there. There was a fucking note on his pillow that he took. And it was a freaking excerpt from Les Miserables, of all things.
Yeah, man.
And it says,
I'm out.
He allowed himself to be led He allowed himself to be led in a promise. Jean Valjean had his promise. Even to a convict, especially to a convict, it may give the convict confidence and guide him on the right path. Law was not made by God, and man can be wrong. And you know who Jean Valjean is in Les Miserables, right?
No, okay. I never watched the movie.
So, it's a play. Okay. It's a play, but Jean Valjean was the police officer in Les Miserables, and he is basically, he made it his life's mission to capture, I forgot what his name is. Cicero. Anyway, and so, yeah. He spent his life chasing after this fucking guy. He caught him, and then it was just, yeah. You can watch it, whatever.
I honestly didn't. I wasn't interested in that.
There was two different versions of it. The 1996 one, and then the 2000, what? The one with Anne Hathaway. What year was that?
I tried to watch it. Anne Hathaway's.
So anyway, after he escaped, he basically stayed on the run for a while. And then on Saturday night in September 28th, 1935, he got caught again. He freaking ducked into a waiting car on the city's north side. I don't even know what the hell that's supposed to mean because I don't know where he was. But the FBI caught him and took his ass to prison. He found his way to Alcatraz. They sent him from New York to fucking Alcatraz, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, Alcatraz, as you know, is an island in the middle of the fucking San Francisco Bay.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were in the habit back then of just spraying down their prisoners with fucking freezing-ass water, mm-hmm. salt water, from the bay.
Oh.
So, he got pneumonia.
Okay.
And he was sent to the infirmary a bunch of times. They fucking filled like a billion prescriptions for him. He had like 507 prescriptions.
So they're just like really trying to like take care of this guy now.
He keeps, you know, requesting to go to the infirmary, and they're like, there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you.
You're fine.
He has symptoms. This guy has fucking symptoms.
You're fine.
So they believed he was faking. And that his illness was part of an escape plan. And he was going to try to escape. He had, like, torn bed sheets in his cell. But,
He was planning on escaping, but he really was sick. I mean,
and yeah, it says
the fuck
inclined to magnify physical complaints. So, you know, oh, my toe hurts. Oh, my God, my toe was falling off. Like, you know, that kind of shit. But he was always complaining of real and imaginary ills.
Mm-hmm.
So they sent him to a medical facility in Springfield, Missouri.
Okay.
And they realized that he wasn't faking and he fucking had Pomona.
Pomona.
Pneumonia.
Pneumonia.
He had Pomona.
Not Pomona.
And he fucking died. He died.
Aww.
So.
How old was he?
57.
Okay.
But for 2 years, his family did not, like, report his death. They managed to.
Does he have a family?
He was married and had kids.
Oh, yes. Did we talk about this?
He got married. I told you he married a Kansas chick.
Yes.
But it doesn't really talk about how, like, his kids, like, his home life. Like, he was always on the fucking
exactly. Goal. Like, though he married her, don't mean she was still down for
they
him.
They had babies. So, and it's the 30s, in the 20s. So,
they don't leave. Yeah.
They don't go nowhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Only the guys can leave.
It's only right that way.
So he died of pneumonia in Missouri, in a prison in Missouri, right? His family's kept his death a secret for fucking 2 years. Nobody knew he was dead. But he, in March 2015, like I said, a historian named Thomas Andel from Hostine, the, you know, Bohemian town in the Czech Republic, tried to find out, like, where he was born, where he came from, where he went to school, all that stuff, and, like, he couldn't find shit. Lustig had told people that, like, and at different times, he told some people that his father was the mayor of his, you know, hometown. Then he told other people that his parents were, like, so poor they couldn't even fucking afford a dirt floor. Like, it was, like, he told
so
different
poor,
stories.
I can't control a dirt. I
can't afford a dirt floor. Damn. Like, yeah, he told different stories to different people. But
so nobody knew, like, what his real background or
what, yeah,
upbringing
what,
was.
Right. They don't know if he came from an affluent family, if he came from a poor family, what. And there's no records of him attending any schools. Or even a birth certificate.
Well, it's like the 1800s. Like, what if the village burned down? What if there was a village fire?
You would know if Hostine had burned down because it's
you would
standing.
Know. You would know if
it's
Hostine had burned down.
Like,
I'm
not,
just saying. I don't know.
It's not one of those.
I just
feel
like it was so long ago. That was almost 200 years ago.
But
right, I'm just saying. It was.
Well, it was actually 130
almost,
years
maybe
ago.
Almost 150 years ago.
130 years ago. But okay. It was almost 200 years ago. But yes.
It really was. My gosh.
It was
almost 150 years ago. That's closer. Closer.
It was more than a century ago. A century and a quarter ago.
Well over.
But yeah, so he, they couldn't find anything. No primary school attendance, no fucking birth certificates.
But
nothing.
Do you even think they were keeping records in, like, the Czech Republic?
They had birth certificates.
I'm just saying, like, listen, how well.
Certificates of live birth. Even,
I get it.
They were handwritten, of course.
Jamal's is handwritten.
Exactly. They're handwritten.
In a third world country. Is the Bahamas a third? It's not a third world country.
It is.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's
good.
I didn't say good.
Oh, but I said good.
No, but that was a third world country, and he was born in 1980. This motherfucker was born in 1890 in a third world country. Who knows what they got? They probably just got, like, a tag, and somebody lost it.
Well, all countries were third world countries in 1890.
But I'm just saying, like, it's a long time ago. You expect to find a record of this guy?
Well, there are records of George Washington, and that was how long ago?
It's not a third world country. Jeez. I understand what you're saying, though. I'm just saying, don't expect. You can be whoever the fuck you want to be.
Okay.
Be from a third world country. Okay, guys, I'm going to put you up on game right now. Right now. If you want to have a fake identity, come from a third world country, produce some fake ass birth certificate because they're all on paper, and go about your game.
Isn't that that was the bullshit that Trump was trying to spew from freaking...
Obama.
Yeah.
I want to see his birth certificate. Let me see the birth certificate.
Blah, 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 blah.
Show me the receipts. Show me the receipts!
All that weird shit.
Who fucking cares?
So, yeah, basically that is the story of the man who sold the Eiffel Tower twice. Victor Lustig.
He was up to no good, but I kind of liked him.
Okay, here's the thing. He used his intelligence for evil.
that's perfect. That was perfect that I did the Dr. Evil, because he's evil.
He used his intelligence for evil.
Right.
But his evil, he was targeting wealthy people, and he said he was targeting wealthy people and greedy people.
Okay, the greedy.
That's what he says. He wasn't fucking giving back to the poor, though.
Of course,
so
he was feeding his family.
He wasn't robbing the rich to give to
the
poor.
He was probably feeding his family. That makes sense.
He was lining his pockets. He managed to live a pretty good life, you know?
He's lining his
pockets. He wasn't living hand to fist or fist to mouth. What is it?
I have no idea.
Whatever is hand to mouth.
Not a clue.
But yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting. So, Brandy, tell me about your thumbs up.
Oops,
oh my gosh.
My thumbs up.
You're such a savage.
My thumbs up is. Oh my, you know what my thumbs up is? My thumbs up is that my period, and tomorrow is the last day of this period. It's ruining my life.
Hold it.
And I just, seriously, I want, can I get a pro bono hysterectomy, please?
They might do it for you.
Please. I need a pro bono hysterectomy so that I don't have to.
Oh, pro bono.
Pro bono.
Oh. I was a girl.
Gratis. Por favor. And also that I hopefully will be done with this issue, our next issue of AV Healthcare News.
Did you get to connect with the vet?
No. He's out of town. He was out of town last week.
Remember? Oh, yeah.
So, maybe he'll call me tomorrow. And,
Do you guys have a call scheduled?
No!
Okay, so call him tomorrow, don't you?
You said he's out of town. I don't have his number. You gave them my info. You didn't give me theirs.
That's true.
So I have no info on this person.
Send an email to David and just say, hey, David, by the way, what's up? I need to get this in by this date. Just let them know your timeline so they're not just sitting on their thumbs.
I'm trying to be done with this issue because it's stressing me out.
Okay, that's awesome. Not that it's stressing you out, but that you're almost done.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So what's your thumbs up for this week? Last week, this week, whatever.
Well, it's spring break this week.
Oh, yeah.
So I took a few days off of work.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be home. I'm going to do some things around the house. I think I'm going to paint my laundry room.
What color?
The same color in here.
Blue?
It's like a gray. It's like a blue-gray.
The goddamn pen is blue.
It's not. Well, yeah. So it'll be this color. I think I'm gonna finally do it. I stained the shelves in there, but I just never painted the room. So I just want to have that done. I'm doing a lot of gardening. I was out there pulling weeds yesterday. I was pulling weeds today, and oh my gosh, like my freaking hamstrings are killing me. My glutes hurt. Like gluteus maximus, painimus.
Gluteus maximus painimus.
Yeah, it's good, but, you know, so I was just out there getting ready for spring. I stopped by my coworker Mario's house yesterday. He has he has a fig tree in his backyard that they need to get rid of, so I went out there.
Why do they need to get rid of it?
Because it's growing between, like, the guest house in the back, and there's, like, maybe, like, how wide would you say this is? A foot and a half?
Like, 2 feet? Feet.
And there's 2 feet of space between the house and the fence, a metal fence, and there's a freaking fig tree growing.
It's between the fence and the house?
Uh-huh, or the guest house. And it only has 2 feet of space. And so it's growing big, and it's going to, like, raise the foundation and fuck the shit up. So they're just going to dig it out, and I'm going to take it and put it in my backyard.
How big is this tree?
It's not that big. I was so concerned.
That's
right?
What I was like. How big is this fucking tree?
It's like long branches. It's tall, but there's like maybe like 12 leaves on it, and it's very thin. Like however thick this is, like the broom handle, it's that thick.
Like an inch thick?
Yeah. It's not that. We can get it here. It's tall, though. It's like 6 feet.
Uh-huh.
So on Tuesday, I'm going to go and get this tree and bury it in my backyard. Plant it.
I'm going to bury it in my
backyard. I'm going to bury you in my backyard. Don't test me. Anyway, so I'm just going to have some time at home to get some things done that I've been wanting to get done. We're going to be planning my birthday party. I'm very excited.
That's cool. I need to get my freaking yard cleaned up because the rain has basically sprouted.
Uh-huh.
My yard is green, but it's grass. I mean, it's weeds. It's all green weeds, and they're like 3 inches high now.
Uh-huh.
And I need them to go.
Exactly. That's what I was doing. So what you should do...
They're snakes.
Listen, when you pull them out, just leave the weeds out there. Just they'll dry in the sun, and they'll break down, and they'll add to organic material.
And you know how much organic material was against my fence? The outside of the fence was so gross. I was like, what is this net? It's like a freaking carpet of just grossness.
Of like leaves and grass there was and weeds and stuff. Organic material is great.
I bought a rake. So I was like trying to get, and so the leaves, because the leaves decompose.
Yep.
We have that fucking tree.
Yep.
The leaves were against the fence on the driveway.
Yep.
So there was like,
is it still there?
6 inch thick.
Is it still there?
Carpet of leaves. No. There's a 6 inch thick carpet of leaves, right?
You threw it away?
And then under the leaves was all this just
soil.
Yeah, basically.
Did you put it in
with
your yard?
With bugs and shit.
Did you put it in your yard?
No.
You threw it away?
Mm-hmm.
That's so, Brandy, like, I would have bought that from you. I'm not fucking kidding. Like,
well,
that, like, listen.
Next time they are there, because they're going to get there again. I mean, there's still some.
I want that stuff. Like, it's so good. It's, like, organic material.
It was on the
It's biodegraded leaves.
It was on the sidewalk.
There's bugs in there. It's breaking that stuff down. That's, like, perfect.
Caterpillars and ants.
That's what, like...
But there was so much... I threw it away because there was trash.
There was
so much trash.
I get it. No, I mean, no worries. You could have spread it out in your yard if you wanted to. And you don't have anything growing in there, but in my yard, it would, like, feed my plants and stuff.
Even if it was just sidewalk dirt?
I mean, fuck. My soil is garbage, and I was out there pulling up weeds, and I put... this is, like, such a side note right now because we were doing our thumbs up, but if you guys didn't know, I am a gardener. And I love the dirt and I love the plants. So last year I threw out the wood chips, right? This year it's been about a year since I've had the wood chips outside, maybe a little bit less than a year. But my soil, I'm building such great soil. So I feel like maybe next year I will be comfortable with actually planting directly into the ground rather than from like a raised bed.
Okay.
Or like doing some mounds or something. I'm just really excited about the way that soil is coming about. It just looks amazing. Anyway, so yep, that's all. Tweet us.
Tweet at us, email us.
Book of Life Pod on Twitter, Book of Life Podcast on Instagram. And you can email us at bookoflifepodcast@gmail.com. Oh, we have to give a shout out. So I want to give a shout out to Indianapolis.
Indiana. Yeah,
we got a lot of listeners from there, and like the numbers
why
are in.
That is?
I have no idea. Tell us why. Well, if you like it, shit, who cares? Love you. But thank you so much for listening. And Indianapolis, whoop whoop.
Yeah, man.
Holler. So yes, there we go. There. Anyway, so you can email us, tweet us, IG us. I think I need to create a Facebook. I think I just have like a page. I think I need a group.
Those don't work, but okay.
Work for what?
Because there's always some asshole in the group who fucks up the group for everybody.
You done fucked up the group for everybody.
You fucked it up, and now you got to create your own.
Okay, well, we'll look into that. Anyway, I am Sunny Hepburn.
And I'm Brandy Fleeks.
And this is Book of Lies, the podcast.
Dun, dun, dun.